This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by the question, Can we get a dog? Can we get a dog? The topic that instantly gives your children the cross-examination skills of a Harvard-trained lawyer. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is called Overrated Children's Books. A few weeks ago, listener Mick wrote in to say, I know your show is going for a positive vibe, but I would like to ask if there are any children's books that you think are overrated. I appreciate this question, Mick. You're right. As a point of principle, I keep it positive on the show. I don't want to nitpick books or focus on their shortcomings. Instead, I try to talk about what a particular story is good for. Children's books do the most good when they're read in the right context by children at a developmental level appropriate to the themes and style of the story. But sometimes it's not an issue of finding the right place for the right book. Sometimes you'll pick up a famous book and just be unable to understand why it's such a big deal. Unfortunately, we often try to hide this reaction, forcing ourselves to finish or even praise a book that we'll never enjoy because we don't want others to think we're uncultured or not smart enough to understand it. If I can persuade you of one thing today, let it be this. It's okay to be unimpressed with a book. You don't owe anyone an apology for that, ever. Here's a few examples of titles that, for me, are overrated. I'm not saying these books are worthless or that they shouldn't be read at all. Well, except the last one on my list, but we'll get to that in a moment. I'm going to start off with Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials series. This is a trio of books that includes Northern Lights, which was published in North America as The Golden Compass, The Subtle Knife, and The Amber Spyglass. This is a series that was mildly controversial for being very critical of religion, but none of my complaints have anything to do with that. I just didn't enjoy the books. They're dark, sad stories about dark, sad people. I don't need protagonists to be perfect, and I want to see them struggle with their own flaws as well as external challenges, but I do actually need to like or at least care about the characters in the books. Most of the characters in these stories are really bad people, and I never found much in Lyra, the main character, to relate to. I can't even really say much about her personality or interests. She's a bit rough and tumble and sometimes breaks the rules. That's about it, but that's not really a fully formed personality. The ideas in His Dark Materials are interesting, and the world that Pullman builds is rich. But I would describe these books as intellectually rigorous rather than fun. There's no jokes, and I never smiled or laughed while reading them. I think the reason why His Dark Materials are overrated as children's books is that they aren't actually children's books. Readers and critics make the mistake of thinking that any book with children in it must be a book written for children. That's mostly but not always true. If an author is dissecting Christian theology and the works of John Milton in a novel, it's not for kids, I promise you. Pullman's writing comes across as if he's trying to be edgy, but he's just recycling things Milton wrote in Paradise Lost. The ideas in that poem, which literally played devil's advocate and is an absolute masterwork of the English language, absolutely were edgy. In the 1660s. In the modern day, these ideas were nothing new. The only people I know who really liked the His Dark Materials trilogy were adults, and I've never met a kid who was super into this series. You might feel differently, and that's fine, but I'll just leave you with this question. Have you ever seen a kid dress up as Lyra Balakwa for Halloween? The second book on my list is one that I think is good, but not worthy of the pedestal on which it's sometimes enshrined. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle has some really cool ideas. When I was 10, the description of tessering, a way to move quickly through space, blew my mind, and it really helped me conceptualize what it might look like to actually fold space-time. But the book gets a bit pretentious and long-winded, especially when it comes to the philosophical and religious allegories. Langle does write some really immersive scenes where the reader's transported along with the characters in the book to strange new worlds, but then she somehow will get bogged down with tedious scenes full of dialogue that doesn't do anything for the plot or character development. The fantastical characters Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Witch in particular never stop yammering, yet somehow they hardly say anything. I don't think A Wrinkle in Time is a bad book. It's overall good, but it sometimes gets treated like a sacred relic that's above criticism. It's the kind of book people are afraid to admit they didn't enjoy because they don't want to be accused of not understanding it. I hereby give you permission to say that A Wrinkle in Time just didn't do it for you. There are other books that explore the idea of traveling to amazing places in a way that's more fun. Mary Poppins does a pretty darn good job, for example, and that book is also funny. I'm showing my personal preferences here, of course, because as with His Dark Materials, A Wrinkle in Time is humorless and takes itself very seriously. I tend to prefer stories that make me think and laugh at the same time. The last book on my list of overrated children's books is The Rainbow Fish by Marcus Pfister. This book has been a celebrated bestseller for 30 years. It's allegedly a beautifully illustrated, sweet little story about the importance of sharing. But it's actually a beautifully illustrated, terrifying dystopian tale about how it's okay to bully people into modifying their thoughts, behaviors, and bodies until every member of society shows absolute physical and mental conformity. Yeah, I really don't like The Rainbow Fish. I'm all for stories that teach kids to share, be civil to one another, and act with consideration for the feelings of others. Children are little barbarians who need to be civilized, after all, and I'm strongly in favor of tricking them into behaving with nice storybooks. But that isn't what happens in The Rainbow Fish. I found this book so disturbing when I first read it that I figured there had to be some serious error in translation. So I bought the original version in German, and nope, it's just as messed up in the original text as it is in the English translation. So what's so wrong with this story? Let's review the plot. There's a fish who is just minding his business. He's really pretty, with lots of colorful, shiny scales, and because of this, he's called the Rainbow Fish. Then one day, this little blue fish comes up to him and says, "Hey, your scales are pretty. Can you rip one off your body so I can have it?" Understandably, the Rainbow Fish tells this little creep to get lost. When the rest of the neighborhood hears about this incident, they do something inexplicable. Nobody tells the little fish that it's a no-no to ask for body parts while panhandling. Instead, they all shun the Rainbow Fish. People who like this book will say, "No, no, you're taking it too literally. The book is just about sharing." But that just doesn't work for me. Symbolism matters a lot. If the little blue fish had asked the rainbow fish to play with some of his pebbles or seashells or something, the story wouldn't be creepy anymore. But the rainbow fish has been asked to remove the skin from his own body and give it to someone else just because he's jealous. This is the equivalent of walking up to someone and saying, "You have such pretty eyes. Can you pull them out so I can tape them to my face?" It's fine that the little blue fish thinks the rainbow fish is pretty. The rainbow fish is pretty. But it's wrong for both the blue fish and the rainbow fish to change who they naturally are. The little blue fish should have learned to appreciate himself as he was and stopped envying the rainbow fish. And the rainbow fish shouldn't have let himself be bullied into changing the things about him that made him unique. Because that's exactly what happens. After being shunned for refusing to give away pieces of his skin, the rainbow fish consults a wise octopus who tells him that unless he gives in to peer pressure, he'll never have any friends. So the poor rainbow fish rips out all his shining scales and gives them away to his greedy neighbors, resulting in a homogeneous society where nobody is more or less shiny than anyone else. In the final images of the book, the rainbow fish seems to be floating around dead-eyed with only one shiny scale left. He's accepted by society, but he's no longer himself, like a underwater version of a Stepford wife. The rainbow fish is a story about bullies and psychopaths gaslighting someone into conformity. But we've all liked it for 3 decades because it's pretty. Really, the artwork is gorgeous. Every page is beautifully painted in lush layers of blue, green, and purple watercolors, with shiny silver foil stamping that little kids love to look at and touch. My hope is that because the book is so pretty, kids don't actually pay much attention to its horrible message. I doubt that Marcus Pfister had sinister motives when writing The Rainbow Fish. It seems more likely to me that he just wasn't as good at coming up with effective allegories as he was at painting pretty pictures. I'd be interested to hear from you about which children's stories you feel are a bit overrated, or if you agree or disagree with my personal opinions about the books I've mentioned today. As I said before, it's fine if you like these stories, but they just really don't do it for me. Remember that you're allowed to have your personal taste when it comes to books. You're not some kind of dummy if you don't like a book that's praised by intellectuals, and you don't have to like a story just because everyone else around you seems to. Read what you like, especially when you're reading to children. Because if we're not enjoying a story, they certainly won't enjoy listening to us not enjoying a story. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.